Today's episode is brought to you by Live Forever Golf. If you like living forever and you like golf, then you're going to love Live Forever Golf. Enter discount code LFG20 for 20% off your next order.
Live Forever Golf, for the player, not the game.
Just sitting there, like, there's no waves, Eastern North Carolina, it's summer. I'm swinging these hammocks, I ain't making a damn dime. And I'm like, that is sick! I was blown away, and I went out and hit balls the next day. Went out to Ironwood, we call it Ironweed. Went out to Ironwood, hit some balls, went to my dad, and I said, and it makes me almost cry, dude, but like, because my dad passed and I love that dude. I said, Dad, I want to play golf again. And I'm like 25. And I said, what do you think? He said, son, I thought you'd never ask.
All right, welcome back to another episode of Straight Down the Middle-ish. We are joined by, gosh, just a freaking legend. Two-time winner on tour. Lived in a van down by the river. Welcome up to Jacksonville, Florida, Mr. Will McKenzie.
Yes.
Thanks.
Yeah, we throw Aaron. I know you're guilty of throwing the word around, that word around a lot, legend. But you're cheapening that word when guys like Willie Mack are around. Because this is a real one.
To the avid golf fan, I think a lot of people know Will McKenzie. But for the non avid golf fans, they're about to learn.
You should know
some
him.
Shit here. You should learn. Yes.
Yeah, you should.
Cult hero.
Forewarning: this episode is going to be all over the place because I've spent enough time with you, Will. I know how it goes.
It's ADD, I guess.
Yeah.
ADD.
ADD. ADHD. Who doesn't have it these days?
I mean, my kids have it. They're only 12 and 14. We're already just medicating the living dog crap.
Whole family has that.
I actually steal them from my son.
Ritalin 10.
Addies. Gotta have them. Just mainly to clean stuff nowadays. It's not even to live properly. It's just to clean the house and clean up after... You know, women and children.
Is that the routine? Once a month, instead of getting the cleaner in, just pop little halfa.
Yeah, just try to get the highest milligrams you can get.
Is it Adderall or Datterall?
It's Addies, Daddies.
For all you people out there, you know, not motivated to clean your house,
get Addies.
First tip of the day.
Yeah, it's pretty basic. You know, go see a psychologist or psychiatrist for $175, and then you're. You're dialed in for 12 months of Addies.
It's the great cheat code in life right there.
Well, nobody in the world is like you, especially in the golf world. Tell the people a little bit about yourself. Will McKenzie came into my life. I was I believe I was a sophomore or junior in high school, and I started taking lessons from this dude, Kevin Smeltz, at Champions Gate, and I believe you were living there. That's when you picked the game back up. You had a pretty long hiatus from what, high school to how old?
You know, I took off competitive golf from 14 to 25.
Jeez.
And I did.
That's not a very important range.
I did play. Right? Excuse me. I did play high school golf in my 9th and 10th. You know, we played 18-hole matches, so I got out of school at like 9 a.m. Mm. And by then, I was gone. Mentally, I was not into golf at all. I lost a big junior tournament when I was 14, and I shut it down. I didn't play any more AJGA or, you know, any East Coast golf or AJGA events after I was 14. I had started back playing at 25.
Which was what year?
Which is now like a veteran on tour.
I was old, bro. You know, everybody was like, there's no chance.
Nobody on tour goes from the age of 14 to 25 and doesn't touch a golf
ball.
I
was just like you and Pricey and or the normal young golfer. I was playing with the desire to become a PGA Tour player. Mm-hmm. From 12 to 14. I was hitting, you know, a teacher bucket of balls every single day. I was playing tournament golf around the Southeast. And like I said, I lost that AJGA Ben Hogan Boys in Las Colinas and lost my shit. You know, I was like, I butchered it. I missed a three-putted like 17, missed a short one for the victory on 18, and went to a playoff. And lost a playoff, and I said, that is terrible. I was so pissed and livid. I get back home, This was late in the summer, and my mom's like, we got to go get school supplies for eighth grade or ninth grade, whatever grade I was going into. And I go, are you kidding me? All I did was play golf this summer. I didn't even have fun. You know, I didn't do anything down at the river. I didn't fish. I didn't we weren't really into wakeboarding then. We water skied, barefooted. We did everything down at the river. We had a sick little river cottage down in eastern North Carolina. And I was just lost. I needed a sports psychologist at the time.
Ooh. All important question. Who beat you in that playoff?
The guy's name, I think he went to Georgia Tech. Is it Jason Walters or something?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that.
He was pure. And but I was like, I can't believe I just lost to this kook. he was a kook. I had him beat.
Yeah.
And everybody else in the field. And I remember it was funny, David Duvall, I was shooting pool. Yeah, I was in the 13, 14 age group, and the 15 to 18 age group was there. And that second day, I shot like 70. It was like howling like 30 at Las Colinas, and or 69. And I got back, and I was like a couple back from the main lead of 15 to 18. And I was playing pool in there, like pool shark. And then Duvall was pure at pool, too. He was in the older age group, and he said something like, I heard him say something like, it was either him or Hank King. I said, slippery pencil. And I was like, oh, shit. I'm about to fight somebody up in here.
That's an accusation.
It was a heavy acky. And, I let it go. I didn't care. But
it's an insecure older boy.
Yeah. It was funny. I mean, I love Duvall. I mean, he can be a little funky, but I really like him.
He's a good dude.
Did you ever ask Hank about that when you met up with him later in life?
You know, it was cool. Hank... I met up with Hank on the Canadian tour. I was trying to qualify for the Canadian tour. And I'm like, you remember me? He's like, oh, yeah, I remember you. I mean, I didn't play many events with him. And he came out like my fast friend after that. He took good care of me. I mean, I was going through – he let me live with him for free. He took me to the Bears
Club.
He hooked me up, bro.
You're out of golf for you know, let's say
– a decade.
Eight to ten years. How do you – what makes you want to get back into it at 25?
I went to Costa Rica, like 99-ish, 98. I don't know.
You went everywhere. Yeah. You went to Alaska. Yeah, well,
I went to Alaska, okay.
You like everyone's seen the movie Into the Wild. That was based on Will McKenzie.
Yeah, he was just eating. You got to watch what you eat out there, though.
Yeah.
I went to Costa to heal my body. I did the three-month thing. You can go for 3 months. And I went there to heal my body because I was beat up. I'd already had surgery on both knees from snowboarding. I had had like bad injuries because I was doing it like I wanted to, you know,
to the max.
To be on tour.
Yeah.
And so I went there, and it was after that I came home, and I'd imported all these hammocks from the Yucatan, Yucatan of Mexico, to try to sell. I was buying them for $6.50 a piece, $7.
Is this Shark Tank?
Selling them for $50, you know, just. It was a tough deal, selling against Hatters hammocks and shit like that.
Oh, you can't compete with Hatters.
Yeah.
I'm obsessed.
I sold them all over the eastern North Carolina at surf shops.
What a hustle.
Yeah, I was hustling, probably selling weed on the side too.
Sure.
but anyway, so where was I? Okay, I'm swinging these hammocks, and it's great, and I'm surfing a little bit, and I still hadn't played golf, and it was that summer I'd got back, and I saw the 99. Yeah, it was the 99. I just got back. 99 U.S. Open, Pinehurst number 2, Payne against Phil.
Mm.
And when I grew up, I loved freaking Payne. I mean, I was like, look at this guy. We're freaking knickers, man. I mean, guy's wearing knickers out there. And he was pure. And Phil was like young gun at that point. I mean, yeah. I guess he was established, but he was the man. I'd played in the North-South. I'd played in the Donald Ross Jr.
That's your part of the country.
It's my part of the country. I love friggin' Pinehurst. And, dude, I'm just sitting there like there's no waves. Eastern North Carolina, summer. I'm swinging these hammocks. I ain't making a damn dime. And I'm like, that is sick.
Mm-hmm.
I was blown away. And I went out and hit balls the next day. Went out to Ironwood. We call it Ironweed. Went out to Ironwood, hit some balls, went to my dad. And I said, and it makes me almost cry, dude, but like, because my dad passed and I love that dude. Huh. I said, Dad, I want to play golf again. And I'm like 25.
Uh-huh. The bug is back.
And I said, what do you think? He said, son, I thought you'd never ask, you know, because he let me go. He wanted me to be on tour.
Sure.
And he let me go. I said, no, I'm going out to Montana, bro. I'm doing what the hell I want. I'm sorry, Dad. And he had to suck it up and be like, you know,
but yeah,
I'm
going to
let you go.
That's where your heart's at. Go ahead.
I'm going to let you go do your thing, son.
Yeah.
And then he was so, like, stoked.
But he was right, because when I came back and won 2 PGA Tour events, maybe that thing you keep grinding and grinding. We all know the junior golfers who are good at 14, 15, didn't even play college golf or played 1 year of college golf, fizzled. So, you know, maybe so, maybe not. Maybe Dad was right.
I know so. Just because I would have burned out, Pricey, if I would have kept going. I mean, I burned out at 14. I was definitely going to burn out if I went to, say, Carolina,
right,
or Florida, or if I tried to go to a bigger school. I would have burned out in college for sure. So it's definitely a blessing in disguise.
We were talking about the, you know, some. Well, Billy was in here the other day, and he was talking about how good of an athlete he is, and you are.
Way better athlete than Billy.
I mean, you might be the best one ever on tour. Yeah. You're Can't so be. Coordinate, dude.
Well, here's
extreme
an idea.
Extreme sport athlete.
Look, with the live and the tour is pivoting. Why doesn't the tour have some, you know, Christmas thing? All the golfers put your hand up, like a multi-sport. Can't, like, they do it in Australia.
I'm in for that.
No, so, how, like, or man, like the Pro Bowl right now. They're doing dodgeball and stuff. Like, that would be sick.
Imagine the tour trying to identify the best athlete. That would be a huge.
I think you'd be surprised.
Can I copyright that?
Yeah. I think you'd be surprised. I think there's some better athletes. I mean, you know, you think you're a good athlete, right?
Yeah.
Okay, then. I think there's a lot of guys that are pretty good athletes. We know there's guys that have a high level hand eye coordination. You could go with Steve Marino and play darts against this dude. He's going to freaking kill you.
I know.
Or any backyard game that involves hand eye coordination. There's some world class ping pong players on tour. There's some great pool players. Yeah, as far as jumping, that stuff that you have to maintain and, like, really do to stay good at, maybe, you know, DJ and some guys like
Bro,
that.
I've seen you do gainers over, like, bushes in the pools.
I can definitely. Well, it's part of that is also you have to. That's mental. That's like, I don't give a crap.
You have to be mental.
I was flipping. So, like, where I grew up, Eastern North Carolina, if you couldn't flip, if you couldn't do a front, like a round off back handspring or round off back flip,
yeah,
you were
a kook.
You were total kook. Mm. I mean, where I grew up, it was like, you know, it was like your black boys and your white boys, and the white boys that were cool could flip because the black boys taught us.
Okay.
And I was like, if you couldn't flip at recess, you're like out there, like, with your thumb up your butt, like you were
you're a dork.
You're a dork. God. I mean, you had to be able to flip to be good and to get basketball for homeroom. You know, you just had to be. You had to flip. So I learned to flip in like maybe third or fourth grade.
But let's be honest, get you a baseball, a football, soccer, tennis. You're gonna
play it
like,
all.
You're gonna look like you've done it half the tour.
Oh, dude,
it's embarrassing.
But they get a little one dimensional on golf. And
I said it on another.
That's probably
previous podcast.
Burned out.
Golf's one of the only sports you can be pretty much uncoordinated and make millions of dollars.
Well, there is some. There's you have to be coordinated, but
swimming, you don't have to be like crazy coordinated to be a good swimmer. There's not many.
No coordination in swimming, is there?
Not really. You see some of the swimmers get out and they're
it's
like
emotion.
All gangly and stuff.
Using your arms and legs at the same time.
Yeah, and you need to be big. You need to be tall.
Yeah,
but you're an athlete. No, we'll put it into that.
Yeah, I would say a top 20 athlete out there on tour.
So, Will, you're a huge outdoorsman. How did you wind up in Montana? Why'd you pick that?
Well, it was a process of elimination. I took 40 out west and did like Albuquerque, and you know, from there,
not
I was
staying
like,
here.
I was like, Taos, nah. Then I headed north. You know, I went up, and you know, next thing you know, I'm in that like Telluride area, Southwest Colorado. I was like, man, this is sick. I love Telluride, but they didn't allow snowboarding at the time, and I was snowboarding junkie. I mean, my roots are in skiing, but I was snowboarding at the time, and I said, I'm gonna snowboard. So they didn't allow that. I camped out there for about 10 days in that Box Canyon. I was like, this place is heaven. And then, you know, went through the whole Colorado, Summit County stuff. I was like, negative, Ghost Rider. Headed up north, you know, into the Mormon world of the Wasatch and Salt Lake City. I was like, eh, don't think so. And then
girls are pretty though.
Oh, they are. I mean, I enjoy just myself wherever I was. So like then
so through you
closet. You know, they think it's hard work, and then they're like, you know, it's just like the Canadian women, you know, in the summer, like all of a sudden it's summertime, and like they're like, let's party.
What's the joke about the Mormons and the drinking? Like if there's two Mormons, they won't drink. If there's a Mormon on their own, they'll drink your whole fridge. maybe it's the same way with the women. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah.
So through Utah, and now you're making your way up north.
Yeah, then I went to Jackson, and I was like, okay, Jackson. So I got a job. You know, I mean, everybody that's talked to me knows. I mean, I got a little job at Taco Bell because I actually ran out of money there. So I needed to, you know, replenish the funds. You know, I needed about $300 to move forward.
Sounds like an amazing
$300. I lived in Jackson, worked at Taco Bell, and tried to figure out how I was going to work on the mountain. And I was going to be a snowpacker at Snow King, early season, like where you like
the real boots on the ground,
boots on the ground stuff. And they
not a fudge packer.
They had given me
it got you a free card, didn't
free
it?
Ski pass. Free ski pass. So I was stoked on that. I was like, okay, I'm digging it, but I don't know. It just I was living in the van in like the freaking post office parking lot, and I just wasn't real dialed in Jackson. I was like, I don't know about this, and I finally.
So you went up in the summer to Montana.
I said I'm just
big
gonna.
Sky.
I said I'm gonna go north one more time. I knew a buddy that had been to Big Sky and said it was sick. So I went to Big Sky, and it was like, first day, everything just fell in place. I talked to the right dude. He goes, yeah, we need a security guard. And I said,
guy.
I said, do I get a gun? Because I am a redneck too. So I go both ways. I can wield a handgun. He's like, no, you're not getting a gun yet.
We're a taser. Taser, can we compromise?
You get a flashlight. You get a flashlight. You know,
got a helmet.
He was going to pay me well and give me a ski pass. And I said, I'm in. I mean, granted, I got fired in about a month.
For what?
Yeah, I'd be in like the employee
up.
Cafeteria.
Yeah, it was just not on Netflix.
I'd be in the employee cafeteria, and I hadn't shaved. And they like, when did you shave? I go, we're in Montana, bro.
Right.
Who shaves? But like, I'd go into the employee housing, and these are the kids that don't go to college, you know?
Yep.
And it's a lot of West Coast kids, but there's some East Coast and Minnesota kids. And they'd be like lighting the trash can on fire and stuff. I'd be like, keep doing what you're doing, boys. And I just didn't enforce any rules. And
no security at all.
Yeah, but I had this.
Probably partake.
I had like a North Face security jacket and security on the back. They're like, Willie Mac, come over again.
It's like the whole monitor that you always wanted.
It was fun. It was like the dream job of all dream jobs. So got booted from that. I think they revoked my season ski pass. This is preseason, though. We hadn't even started the season. And so I went and started working in the main dining room doing dishes, and I got a ski pass that first year. First year, we got about 550 inches.
Ooh, wow.
It was one of those dream years where I'm listening to like Slayer and Metallica in the back, busting, doing dishes out, and it's just there's one window, and it's dumping every day. And I just had the time of my life. So I was hooked. I was like, yeah, I'm living here now. Yeah. I'm going to be here forever.
And then
I did five winters.
Did you meet a love interest out there?
Several.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Montana, but we also call it Mantana. There's not many. You're like, everybody's like, there's a girl. I mean, it's like a race to get the girl.
A Montana 7.
Tell us about one of the girls you dated.
You must have been pretty good, though.
Well, I was, you know, I mean, dude, I'm a dirtbag at heart living in your van. So I can go, you know, I can go without for a while women. I can just sit there and, you know, please myself. You know, I can do my own thing. I don't need it.
Like a barbecuing alone.
Yeah, I just chill. And
you don't need that.
But yeah, but then there comes a time where you gotta, you know, you're like a camel to water. You know, you've been out the
desert. You need the smell, the touch.
You're like, where's woman. So I had a girl around. And back in the days, you know, I left there and started working down the hill. Like that first year, I was like, I'm not going to slave in here doing 300 dinners and busting dishes out and being a dish dog. So I started working down the mountain at a small restaurant. Yeah, by then I was dialed in. I was a local. And this is the middle of my first season. I started working for a guy named Dick Allgood at Allgood's Bar and Grill. And
That's a great last name.
I worked there forever. And I would sometimes go cook breakfast on the weekends if I don't want to snowboard. And then, but mainly I just worked nights from 4 to 10. And I'd be out by 11. I'd go sleep in my van, wake up, and go snowboarding at, like, at 9 a.m. when the resort opened.
And then when it turned into summertime, you're a big boater. Mm-hmm. You got into being a kayak guide.
Yeah, that first year.
How do you stay warm in your van in Montana when it's fucking dumping snow?
Well, it was important that you have a great sleeping bag. Mm-hmm. That's like first and foremost. I had a North Face Bigfoot. You know, I'll go to REI every now and then and kind of just look at their gear and be like, okay, what would I be doing if I was in Montana now? And you need like a 10 below to 20 below bag out there, pretty much minimum. Mm. So I had a great bag. That was a big purchase for me. You know, that thing was probably $350 back in the days. And I slept in that thing every night, half the time just freeballing, dead naked. I've slept in there with like hot water bottles too. I've slept in there with full face balaclavas when it's so cold where like your breath is just like, you got to cover your face.
How often do you wash that thing?
Not much. You know, not much. I mean, I don't know if I've ever.
I bet never.
Because never. You're just like, you're like, I might ruin this thing. And it's so important.
Montana ladies just crept in there?
Yeah, they wouldn't really get.
Did the hair on their legs keep you warmer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one thing. Like, it was tough to bring them into the van.
Really?
You know, there's not that many that are willing to go.
Let's go to your place.
There are.
Tiger Lily was.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's a Van Dweller, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, most of my girls were not afraid of sleeping outside. Either they lived outside or in a vehicle, or they were not afraid, you know, or just they had to get.
Well, they had enough juice.
They just had to get into the van with me.
Yeah. Love it.
It was a great time.
So that chapter ends. You go down to Costa Rica, rehab, and then let's play professional golf. Yep. And you're the Hooters Tour Player of the Year. You don't know this about me, but you inspired me to take the same damn route and failed miserably. But what was your reception like from players? Like, did you know a lot of those guys when you got back out there, or they're just like, where the hell did this guy come from? He's taking all
mountain
our
man.
Money.
You know, I don't think that many knew me. I contacted a dude named Ryan Geoffrey that I played all over. He was from Greensboro. He was really good, and it was basically him that I said, dude, what do I do? He goes, well, I don't know, but I mean, you've been gone for a long time. But if I was you, I would just start grinding every day. So I just said, my whole goal was I'm going to outwork everybody.
Yeah.
I'm going to outwork them, and then, you know, I'm going to slowly catch them. I know they got a big head start on me, you know, through late high school and college golf. But I'll just outwork them, and then I'll finally – I knew guys were going to be burning out.
Where did you get that work ethic? Do you think that came late, or did you always have that?
I think it was just like the only way. I think that was where I was
at.
This
is kind of who you are too, though.
Yeah, you're 100 or nothing.
You're full on or checked out.
Yeah, not as much now. I don't know if I still have that kind of work ethic that I had. I had a belief.
We're getting old.
I had a belief at that point. I was like, man, it's 100%. It's everything. I'm going to do it, and it is what it is. And then I remember talking to my mom. She was like, I mean, I was like chopping or something and not doing any good. And she was like, you know, what do you think, man? You go back to Montana? You know, I had already become an EMT. I had it made out in Montana. I was going to live like I'd be working at the Yellowstone Club just chilling right now. But but I was like,
I got some friends that are members out there.
We really fucked that up, Willie.
I
sounds
like,
a lot better than PGA Tour Live right now.
I said, Mom, if I fail at Q school and feel like I play really well and don't get through, all right, I'll quit. But until then, I ain't quitting. I'm not going to quit until I make it, and I will make it. So she's like, all right, bud.
Way to will
so
it.
So you had like, you still had the 15-year-old mentality in a 25-year-old body.
Right.
And, you'd sort of like left for 10 years, but you were like, I'm mad. I'm just going to keep going.
And I was, if I would have gone straight into it,
huge.
That Costa Rica trip was so vital because if you know, if you look at the dudes on like the WSL, every dude's just ripped. I mean, they're in such great shape because you're using your core and you're swimming. Your shoulders are perfect. You know, it's not like it's a huge leg workout, but you're just in great shape. I came back in incredible shape.
They're big on that breath work too, which I like.
I wasn't really doing that down there, but all I was doing is surfing. I wasn't working.
Were you
I was
doing
surfing.
Anyway, you held under for so long. All the time.
I was eating all I ate in Costa Rica every single day is rice, beans, and eggs for breakfast, rice, like smoothies and stuff at lunch, and then rice, beans, and chicken or like ground beef at dinner and smoothies. And then liquor and beer.
That too.
but I mean, that's diet. All I ate was rice, beans, eggs, and chicken and smoothies, tons of smoothies.
Nothing out of a packet. No preservatives.
Nothing, dude. I was feeling like a billion bucks when I came back from there. I was just like fired up to go do whatever.
Up on some dorks on the golf course. I mean, you came from some extreme sports. You had to feel like you had a little bit of an extra edge. Kayaking in Montana is no joke. I mean, there's people die on those rivers every single year. Did you feel like there was any kind of extreme element to your game coming playing those guys?
I mean, I'd already done it. You know, I mean, I definitely had been held upside down, stuck in my kayak several times, like borderline death. And yeah, so,
I got to hit a fairway.
But the whole thing about golf is a whole different, like, it's just a different set of circumstances. Like, there's still fear involved in golf, too. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I wasn't thinking about it. And I only started thinking about it maybe in my older age. So you get on tour, you're like, man, if I hit it in this shit here, you know, I'm going to lose 20 G's or whatever. You know, you got a little bit fearful on the stuff, but nothing's life or death, and you got to, like, look at it.
But there's an intangible like that still I can't explain it. The difference between, like, a Cam Smith who's not Dustin Johnson or DeChambeau that can compete, there's something on the inside that, you know, Willie Mack from his
thrive in that moment.
You know, used. But some people can't use it. They're so talented and can't tap into that part. It's nuts.
You got two boys there, Will?
Yeah, two boys, 14 and 12.
Any of them into what you used to be into, hunting, fishing?
We're not into hunting down there because we're living in South Florida, which there can be some good hunting, but they're both into fishing. So they love to fish. That's their equilibrium, because right now they'll sit on that friggin' phone and play TikTok or do TikTok. And, you know, they see all this crazy mess of social media, and it's kind of disturbing.
What a contrast.
It's going to be a battle.
You grew up, especially those years out west. Like, that's the complete opposite. The kids today, not just your kids, all kids face today, as opposed to you, like, fuck, at 15 or 16, I've had enough, I'm going out west, I'm going to live literally in the nature.
Yeah, well, Maverick, my oldest, he may well do that. He told me, he said, yeah, I'm just going to, I think I'll move out west after high school. Like his old man, I was like, go ahead, bro. Do yourself a favor. I'll be visiting you constantly. Mm-hmm.
What about Nash?
Nash is, they're both enthralled with this whole social media, but Nash, fortunately, is pretty bright. Like, he gets it. You know, he's a straight-A student. Maverick, I just want to get him through at least high school. I mean, or yeah. That would be great if he, I hope he does college. But, yeah, he told me, he said, I might go to like University of Montana or Colorado, Montana State or Colorado or something. He goes, but and not, but I'm gonna snowboard. I'm gonna ride all day, and I'll take night classes.
Mm.
I guess so I'm gonna have to poorly support your ass while you snowboard all day and then take night classes. I'm sure you're really gonna go to class every night, you idiot. But I love it. I love it when they like to do that. That little bit of outdoor stuff is so key to, you know, contrast against this inundation of social media that they do. They're just, I mean, I can pick them up from school and I mean they could sit on their phone the whole way back home.
That's their cure for boredom, and like
it is.
Boredom is the opportunity to create. I mean, that's your mind
that's
telling
the same.
You
like kids are now constantly entertained, so when they're not entertained they're like freak out
bored. You know, you can't use that word. I remember. Yeah, I just hate that word. I'm bored. Well, go freaking do something,
right?
Yeah. I mean, how can you be bored in this life? You can go walk around, you know, anywhere out here.
There's 40,000 million shows you can watch. At least watching a show is not like social media interaction and screen time. But
pick up an instrument.
There's
play
no
some
way
music.
To, you can be bored. No way.
Well, you know, my little one plays sax and he actually jams.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, it's for the school band. But the band dude, the head of the band is pretty cool. And like, I went to see him play sax. Oh, they did their little winter, their
concert.
Little winter concert. And dude, they're playing like Herbie Hancock and
hell
stuff,
yeah.
Which
wow.
is so epic. And I'm out there like, I'm almost cutting a rug.
Chameleon.
You're the star of the
love
show.
Love Herbie.
I was like, has anybody got any herbs? I mean, I'm out there like, man. I mean, I was like, Nosh.
Where are the and single
my,
mothers?
My ex-wife, Allie's like, dude, be quiet. Dude. Everybody's like, wearing nice clothes. I'm like, dude, I'm so proud of Nosh. He's out there.
That's
they
awesome.
Were jamming.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, like, I'm like, dude, play that thing. I don't even care if you're you can play your, you know, all your sheet music, but learn to play. Listen to reggae stuff, you know. Those brass members jam. It's badass if you do it right.
I'm guessing school band is a lot cooler than it was when we were, because that's the one maybe positive thing of social media, because it's spread around the world and all the adults love these kids that can jam. Everyone that played an instrument when I was a kid was a dork, and the moment they left high school, they flipped from being a dork to being cool because they were playing shows.
Right.
It was the craziest thing. Like Blink-182 talked about it. Biggest dorks in high school, the moment they leave high school, everyone wanted to be them. But I think social media has probably helped the kids in the band get out there, and then they see it on social media, so all the other kids love it.
Well, like you're saying, I think it's just good for your mind. I was never good. I played, you know, I played violin for like maybe a minute, and I played trumpet in the band for a minute, and then just didn't stick with it, and then tried to start playing guitar later in life, you know, because you're living in a van down by the river. You got to be able to play guitar, so I can play G, C, and D over and over and over again, but was never great at it. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, you're so into it when you're doing it, and it's just, it's amazing playing instrument. I've always revered instrumentalists, you know, anybody, you know, bands and anybody that can play. I'm like, man, that is so sick.
Yeah. Who are you into these days? What kind of music are you listening to?
I mean, it's just everything. I mean, I'll still listen to hippie music. I'll still listen to Grateful Dead and Fish and Widespread. And then I've been into like that 90s grunge stuff, like going back into Alice in Chains and Temple of the Dog and that type of stuff, because I didn't listen to it as much as everybody else. Like, I didn't watch TV from 93 to like 2000. You know, I was basically living in a van.
Yeah.
I was living that life. So I wasn't. And
that's amazing to think of it.
That's why I didn't like the word bored.
Yeah, like those. Like,
you didn't miss much those years.
Exactly. Well,
Friends
but music,
and Seinfeld. That's
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And now I watch that stuff. I'm like, oh, Seinfeld. This is hilarious. That Larry David, like his Curb Your Enthusiasm, his comedy is so awesome. Like, I follow Curb Your Enthusiasm on Instagram, and I'll just sit there and watch it. And he'll be walking, and just the funny shit happens to him that is so bizarre, and it trips me out. Yeah, so there's a lot of movies and stuff I miss that I can watch now that are tripping me out.
The Bill Clinton years. You missed them all.
Slick Willie.
Dude,
He plays the sax too.
Does he?
Yes. Look out, Nash.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
What, is Mav the one that's good at golf?
Neither of them.
Neither.
Yeah.
I've seen his action on.
He's got potential, and you know, I love. You know, I'm so into these kids, as I know all y'all are. It's just, it's like they take over. That's the meaning.
Fun as hell.
That's the meaning of your life.
Yeah.
It's seeing them grow and go through these little phases. But yeah, Maverick's got some decent talent in golf, but he'd rather go surfing.
Really?
If there's a wave, he's going surfing. He's much more into that.
Mav was playing with Charlie for a while, right?
Yep. They still hang, but they more go fish together. Because behind Charlie's house at Elon's is the sickest bass hole in like Jupiter.
Really?
Yeah. They catch Nash, and Nash hates golf, but Charlie loves Nash because Nash slays.
Really?
Nash is just a natural fisherman. And yeah, Nash caught a 7.5-pounder the other day in there. Yeah, they catch fatties at Old Palm.
Wow.
Yeah, but Charlie's kind of, it's so advanced compared to Maverick in golf. I don't even think Charlie likes to look at Maverick's golf swing anymore. He's like, God, Mav. He caddied for Mav in a tournament. Mav's caddied for him.
And that's so cool.
Yeah, they have fun. But Charlie's, I mean, Maverick said the other day, he's like, Dad, Charlie hits it like further than you. I said, yeah, I know. He's real pure.
Is there any, I mean,
I'm digressing. He's progressing.
So Charlie's about the same age as you were when you hung it up for a decade.
Yeah, I mean, close.
You got to be worried about.
I would have crushed him.
Got to be worried about burnout. I mean, at that age.
Well, that's the thing about, I saw my boys, and I was that dad. You know, I haven't played any golf in 5 years, so I've been at home on the sidelines of all these events. And at first I was going nuts, like hands in the air, like, you know, like
what
talking
are you
to the coaches and then talking to my dude. I'm like, dude, how are you that uncoordinated? I mean, your first step needs to be back on these patterns. And if you're playing quarterback or something, cornerback. And now I'm just like, what am I doing? You know, just let, you know, support them when they need to be supported and, you know, give them some constructive criticism if they want it. But you know, Matt, it was going to get tough. I was going to be more critiquing, more just pure criticism, and I'm like, dude, 0.01 dudes become go on tour,
right?
You know, I'm not going to push my kid to go on tour. I mean,
no, look,
do whatever the hell you want.
Comes from within. Like, you either got the bug or you don't have the bug,
right?
If you don't have there hasn't been a player that's ever played professional golf that didn't have the bug.
Yeah
There's a beauty in letting that go though as a father. I mean, you think you want your kid to be the exact same as you,
right?
And then once you recognize that they aren't, I mean, you just gotta, okay, you're now just gonna be yourself.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The bug, as you called it, that addiction of wanting to get better. I wanted to go hit a bunch of balls when I was that age. And I'm like, Maverick, you want to go hit balls? He's like, nah, bro. He's like, actually, can you come out so you can take us in a golf cart? And he's like,
kids love golf.
Eating a grilled cheese and like a Gatorade. And we used to like carry our bag for 36 holes a day and just grind. So I guess it's a little different.
I take Liam out to Pablo and he just wants to go pick up the crab trap and see if there's anything in it.
I love that.
Yeah. So, Will, did you think, and before we get you out of here, did you ever think later in your career that you'd be doing television?
Yeah. I never thought about it. You know, I just, I'm not a big planner.
And you're really good at it, dude.
I'm not a big planner. I appreciate it. I mean,
you definitely bring a different vibe, which is needed.
Energy.
On the corner.
Yeah, I get pretty energetic. And I remember I did it the first time in Greg Hoffe. I was like, hey, bro, what do you need me to do?
Yeah.
He goes, I need you to bring more energy. I tried to down it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, my first couple times I was in there, like, trying to be very proper. Like, Matt Every, he's got 167 in.
Is that what it sounds like?
A little high draw here. You know, and he's like, nah, dude, just be yourself. Bring the energy. So, yeah, I didn't think I'd do it. And I don't know if I'm going to keep doing it, but I'm having fun with it. It's a different vibe, you know? It's a little bit more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if I wanted to go out and do Golf Channel or, you know, I see I see our boy Johnson Wagner on Golf Central. I'm like, I don't know about that, bro.
Yeah. You might not be a studio guy.
Yeah, that's saying. Just too. He has to be too polished,
right.
And too politically correct, and too perfect.
Yeah. Why is that? Why can't we just have guys on the shows?
But I think ESPN Plus and the PGA Tour log, it's definitely a looser.
It's way looser. Sometimes you go in there and like try to get fired, and you can't do it.
Yeah, yeah,
they love it. Some of the producers are fantastic. They know.
Oh, they're giggling in your ear when you. Yeah.
And I think it could be even looser. We have like three or four paid employees out there that are just hitting that mute button when Avery is dropping F-bombs after we hit a shot.
How good are those mics out there?
Yeah,
they're insane.
Catch everything.
They pick up everything.
Well, we're listening. Everything. Listen to the caddy player, go back and forth, and then we're listening to the reaction of the player, and unfortunately. They bleep it out because of political correctness. They don't want to say something like
offensive.
I didn't know that
offensive. It's mainly that, I don't think they would mind if people were saying shit and drop the F bombs. But if you say something that's a little more risque.
Yeah.
Yeah, about genders.
Yeah.
Tour needs an OnlyFans page for this type of
late
content.
Late night content.
Yeah. Absolutely.
The first week I did it, I didn't know that they had someone that beeped that out. We picked up, I think it was JJ Spawn on a hole. Right. He might have bogeyed the hole before. This guy said the F word 10 times before he hit a shot and 10 times after. Like, I mean, just fuck this, fuck. Whatever. And
that's
I'm
what
like,
the F word is, guys.
I'm looking at my the guy I was doing it with. I'm like, are you serious right now? Like, I can't believe this.
Then was it muted?
They mute it.
But then you got to come on and act like he's like said nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I just think that with it being the ESPN Plus, that's like almost the ESPN X. I mean,
yeah,
it doesn't need to be X rated, but.
No, but you should let stuff like that go. It's
Golf
definitely
World
part
wants
of the
to
deal.
Hear it.
The
I
Golf
believe
World
so.
Wants to hear it.
But Jay Monahan and the higher ups, they think they're trying to protect the player in case the player says something that is really,
really, really bad.
Yeah, really, yeah. Like you said, like more genderish, and that just doesn't play. That stuff doesn't play in today's market, man. Nobody likes
it's
that.
Tough. It's a tough.
There are certain cuss words that work better than others.
Well, they should have those guys should. I mean, if you're full time, doing that, you should be able to differentiate what is okay.
Exactly,
F-bombs are okay, and
The other day on the radio, the other day on the radio, I said dipshit. All right, and they're like, like that, and I was like, what? Is that really that bad? But they're saying you're allowed to say ass on the radio, so there needs to be a list of cuss words that we need a new list. Like the F word is okay as long as you don't abuse it.
So all the dips in the
contextual
world
trigger.
Yes, just don't abuse it. But you should be able to use it.
It's a very descriptive term.
Mm. What?
The F word. I mean, covers everything.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. It is.
You use it most sentences.
It's a tough game.
It's been around a while, too.
You're playing it for a living, and you go rifle one, like, 50 yards into the trees. I mean, how do you not just drop the F-bomb?
Or a GD. Yeah. Something.
Well, back to golf. So I do want to ask this question. So when you come back from Costa Rica, you're grinding. I'm guessing you think that, I am going to win a PGA Tour event, even though I haven't played competitive golf in 10 years.
Yeah, probably wasn't thinking that far down, but I knew I was going to get on tour. I knew I'd get on tour. Or, it could have been a false sense of confidence or whatever, but I had the picture in my mind that I would be out there. I don't know about winning or I don't know what kind of success I'd have, but I knew I was going to get out there. I just told myself I was, and so I was grinding.
And then your first win was out west, out in the mountains of Reno.
Yeah, Tahoe. Mm. Yeah, that was...
Felt comfortable?
That was felt comfortable, the sage all around me. I would, walk
That's
down the
cool
fairway,
place.
Grab the sage and rub it all over my body. It was like my deodorant. It smells so good. I was all vibed
mountain
out.
Man.
Yeah,
that's an underrated event because I missed, it was always opposite, but Montreux was
good
track.
I won tiny events, but they were cool. That golf course was so cool.
What was the other one?
The old Sanderson Farms.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's kind of a whack golf course, but fun. I remember I saw
that was the best greens on
stat. I was like, I think I missed 18 greens that week, but I got up and down 17 times. So work on your short game, fellas.
That's right.
That's the key.
Yep.
Key to scoring, for sure.
I was going to say stay in school, but I don't think you subscribe to that.
I mean, college would have been cool. But I don't know.
Well, this has been the most fun I've ever had on a podcast.
Yeah, this was good.
Thanks for having me, fellas.
Yeah, dude.
We should.
You going to scratch the itch? You turn 50 soon.
Come on.
I'm going to scratch it. I'm going to definitely go to Q school.
Hell yeah.
You know, they only take five dudes.
How old are you?
I'll grind. 48.
Are you really,
48
bro?
And a half.
Just round up.
Yeah, so I'll go. I think they give you two times.
That's the other thing, too, kids. Stay active. Look how young this guy looks for 48.
Yeah, that's going to be the key, how I feel then. As long as I stay active, I still actually hit it great. I hit the ball real nice.
Shocker.
It's just like whether I'm going to be able to putt and chip. There's days that I putt decent. And
your body feel decent enough?
I putt shitty. I might have to have a left hip surgery or maybe another left knee surgery. But other than that, I'm pretty good.
Dude, getting done at the same time.
They're like miracles. Those guys will get you in and out a little quick surge, get you a couple Vikes, get you a couple Perkies, and you'll be on your feet hitting balls in like 2 weeks. It's crazy.
No problems.
Oh my God.
No worries, mate.
I love you, Will.
Love you guys.
Thanks for coming on, bud.
Thanks.
Cheers.
Thanks for having me.